Welcome. We want to bring to you the International Black Summit. We discuss our experience in Chicago, along with the questions that arise that came out of the summit, which is, what is possible in life when I be with what is? What is the gift? But as always, with all of our shows, we begin with the declaration of the International Black Summit. Glenn?
The declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Moment of silence. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shakesha. Now we have our Kwanzaa principle.
Okay, this is Shakesha again coming to you from Memphis, Tennessee. And our Kwanzaa principle for tonight is unity, umoja. Unity, umoja. The Kwanzaa principles are given in the African language of Swahili. And Swahili is a language that's spoken over many parts of Africa. It's considered the market language, the language of commerce. So even though other countries spoke different languages, many spoke just Swahili, so when they came together to do commerce, they could understand and do business. So in Kwanzaa, the principle is using the language of Swahili. And we're now looking at unity, coming from our 21st annual event that took place in Chicago, Illinois, at the Living Room. So that's what we're looking at tonight, people sharing about their experience. Back to you, Jill.
Thank you so much. I just want to make a couple of announcements. We do have a share, which is going to be held in Chicago. It's going to be at T&T Foods on August 27th from 3 to 5 p.m., And for our new listeners, a share is a place where you meet and you discuss the International Black Summit. You discuss what it's all about, what we have to offer, and what you have to offer for the summit. And then also, there is a China tour. And this China tour is, my computer's a little slow, here we go. The China tour is going to be October 22nd. And you can receive detailed information about the share on August 27th in Chicago, and the tour to China on October 22nd. You can receive this information at www.blacksummit.org. And if anyone else, any of the hosts, are there any shares going on in your community that we need to know about? Okay, back to you, Shakesha.
Okay. So we were in the beautiful city of Chicago, Illinois, in fact, my birthplace. I was born at Cook County Hospital. Cook County no longer hospital is there. It's been torn down, but at one time, a lot of people were born in Cook County Hospital. So we were in the beautiful city of Chicago. I mean, wow. What an experience. Chicago, as Oprah loves to say, is a magnificent city. So I got a chance to revisit my birthplace. And that's what's great about the annual event, the location. You get to experience that. So for me, the summit was very special in that I returned back to my birthplace and where a lot of my family is, have a lot of cousins there. So one of the first things it related for me was the quantum principle, umoja, unity. You know, I felt that connection with my family, with my, you know, just remembering school days. And then to be inside of the living room, oh, my goodness, what an experience. That was the first time I've experienced a setup like that. Usually we're in hotels, and this time we were in this area called the living room. And it was, for me, I really experienced the living room. And what was different for me about the living room, I got to sit on all of the couches, move around to different areas. Because in Chicago, when I was growing up, we didn't sit in our living room. You know, your mother had plastic over everything. You just walked through the living room. So this was my experience at this summit to actually play in the living room. So that's I'm going to just share that part right now. Let some more people share their experiences, and I'll come back and share some more.
Well, this is Jill, and for me, just the space, the living room, it just being in Chicago, I truly had an experience of not only completion in certain areas, but also of renewing. I became clear once I came home after kind of digesting everything. I became clear and focused. I have a couple of to-do lists. I have a couple of goals and objectives with timelines. I just became more clear. And I just, as far as the term, the living room, that was so apropos for me because it just kind of boosted life in me. And the space was amazing with all the light coming in, the hardwood floors. We brought in the ancestors. It was an amazing space to be in for creativity and for an adjustment for me, for an adjustment in my life and experiences that I'm going through. So it was just wonderful. Back to you, Shakesha.
Okay. So you're listening to the International Black Summit Network. You're listening to our Sunday talk show that happens here every Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're looking forward to you calling in at area code 646-716-9827. You know, call a friend, pull someone on in, and you know, have them listen. And remember, press 1 when you want to share, and you just press 1 once, and then that'll let us know. If you press 1 again, it makes your hand go down. So press 1 and then just wait, and we'll bring you in. And we're very excited to hear you share too. My other experience about the International Black Summit for this year was that my grandson was with me. He's 15 years old. He rode the train in from Memphis, Tennessee, and this was his third summit, and he was very excited. You know, he couldn't wait to get there, and you know, he compared it to the other two that he had gone to. And, it, you know, it's just great to have something like the International Black Summit to share with him. We get to talk about it. We get to plan for the next one in 2012. He's all excited about that, and it's expanding his world. So he now has lots of friends in Canada. So he's developed these friends that live in Canada, and he saw people from Canada that he met 2 years ago. So, you know, that's exciting at 15 to have international friends. You know, even though Canada's on the continent of not North America, you know, it's still two different, you know, countries. And so, you know, he gets to share that. He gets to share that with his classmates. So I was quite happy. We had tons of pictures. If you go to blacksummit.org, you'll see lots of pictures from the summit. And I have 4 pictures up on my mantelpiece right now from the summit. So it was just exciting, just exciting.
You know, Shakesha, it's pretty great because it truly is an international conversation that we're in. And for a young man of 15 to be able to be exposed to that after spending some time in Japan himself, and to really be in this conversation of empowerment and of people of Black African descent in a conversation consistent with moving ourselves forward. So you're absolutely right, and he participated with the Youth Summit. So we have various events and various things that are available from our organization. And Jill talked a little bit about Summit Share. So the Summit Share is an introduction, is a way of you getting an experience of it. We also have a prerequisite course, which is an all-day course. Starts in early in the morning, goes to completion. And it we discuss the principles and authentic listening, which is some of the key points in terms of being in the conversation of the International Black Summit. Then as Shakesha mentioned, her young person, her grandson, we have a youth summit, which is also from 8 to 18. And then we're developing a young adult space, which is from 18 to probably around 30, maybe 35. We haven't gotten that quite flat, but interestingly enough, when you go around the world, a youth is still considered somebody under 35 in certain countries, in South Africa and in Nairobi, Kenya. So so we've got a variety of offerings. I wanted to share just a little bit about my experience of Chicago. Was also a coming home, interestingly enough. I lived in Chicago for about 2 years after I graduated from college. So getting back and getting to Chicago was very fulfilling for me. It was almost like a, you know, somewhat of a completion in coming home. Now, the thing for me is that each annual summit event is very much like a family reunion. So I get the opportunity each year to come together and to touch bases with folks that I haven't seen in a while and find out and share what their vision is and share my vision, and we kind of retouch and kind of reignite some of the common interests that we have around the world. We also have a woman came in from Kenya, Wambui, who was part of the Youth Summit as well. So we've got a lot of different connections. We, you know, Shakesha talked about the Canadians that come down from Toronto and Ottawa. So we are truly an international conversation about empowering our people. So anyway, just wanted to share a little bit about that and some of the offerings. Back to you, Shakesha.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you. One of the things that shows up inside of the International Black Summit is your opportunity to travel to various countries and locations. We've traveled throughout the United States extensively. We've been in Chicago 2 to 3 times. We've been in Georgia twice. We've been in Baltimore, Maryland. We've been in California, a lot of places. We do the prerequisite, various places. Now, as Glenn said earlier, the prerequisite is the course that you're required to attend before you come to an annual event. And you can do that before the next annual event. In fact, you can contact us at the website and let us know if you would like to have a prerequisite brought to your community or your area, something great for church groups to do, for youth groups, for, reading book club groups, you know, anywhere where you collectively come together, we could come and assist you in having a prerequisite. And that's the one-day course. That one-day course always happens the day before the annual event. But what we've been noticing, or let me say what I've been noticing, is that people are like wanting to be there. So they get there Thursday or Thursday evening, and, you know, they're like, I want to start the summit tomorrow. And so, you know, we're getting that prerequisite done, but sometimes it's just not enough time. So I'm really being the stand for 2012, that people are having them before the annual event. So when you fly in Thursday night for the opening ceremony, and then Friday morning you just come right on in. So as the show is growing in the listenership, I'm just inviting you to look at how to have a prerequisite in your area. And all that is a willingness on your part for us to come and meet with you and talk about how to have that happen. The prerequisite is just always a great place. I have so many friends from the annual event that I met while helping to facilitate the prerequisite. You know, so prerequisites is a great place. You start making friends right before the annual event because you do the prerequisite with a group of people, and then those group of people walk into the annual event with you. So you, like, come with your friends, and then you meet more friends. So keep checking the blacksummit.org website to see where prerequisites are happening, and then to contact us. And you can also open up your page on the website, you know, similar to the Facebook. You just, you know, fill it out, and immediately you're now in the network with us. So I tell you, it's just exciting seeing new people pop up on the network and saying hello and being able to welcome them. And that's what's so great about the International Black Summit is the welcome. People just opening their arms to you and saying, I am excited to meet you again next year. And I've been doing the summit since 1993. And the summit people are no longer my friends. They're actually my family now. So it's a very, very intimate relationship in terms of these are like my brothers and sisters now. And it's a very special feeling for me.
This is
Jill. Lisa Bandelli down from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. How's everybody doing tonight?
Okay.
I just wanted to share a little bit about my impressions with the Chicago International Black Summit. And, you know, when I came there Thursday for the cultural thing, I mean, that was really, to me, mind-blowing because it reached so many people on different levels through the music and poetry, et cetera. Like one of the songs, some of you were probably too young to know who they were talking about, but like I grew up with Pookie Hudson and the Spaniels in terms of their music. And that Goodnight Sweetheart, that's a group that I really loved as a teenager. You know, I was born in 42, so I mean, I heard them in the early 50s. And then he came back with Maggie Brown, and I've actually used Maggie Brown's father, Oscar Brown Jr., in some of the presentations that I make. My field's agriculture, but one of his landmark songs was the 40 Acres and a Mule. And ironically, I had never met Maggie, but she had actually performed with my son, Kafele, who spent some time in Chicago, who is a jazz musician. And then during the summit itself, I can't remember the name of the sisters who did the tribute to the Falling Warriors, but she used a song from Sweet Honey in the Rock entitled Breaths, and it talked about listening more often to things than the being, and the ancestors' breath is still with us. And I have used that same song in a tribute that I did in Louisiana to three of our fallen heroes who made various contributions. And then when going to the Tony Browder lecture, that showed me the essence of eternity, because for those of you who may have seen it, he's excavating a tomb in the 25th dynasty in Egypt and has his young daughter at his side during the excavation. So I just saw a whole lot of connectivity, and I always come, this was my third summit, and I will continue to do so and make a commitment to get more folks that I know to come in the future. So it was really a beautiful experience for me and my wife. And the other part, one last point, is that a lot of that the genius in that room was not necessarily talked about because people are so humble. Like Paul Coates was there talking about the Jack Johnson, the Panther, who spent 40 years in Black Panther, who spent 4 years in prison. But some people may or may not know, but Paul Coates was he was in the Panthers early on, but he's also the brother who started the Black publishing company, Black Classic Press in Baltimore. So, I mean, I was just blown away by all the connectivity that I felt in the summit.
Wow. Thank you. Now, what was the other two summits that you were at?
I was at in 2005 in Chicago. And then I think it was 2007 or 2008 in New Orleans. I had planned to attend the one in Baltimore, which is my hometown, but I was in the hospital at the time.
Okay, well, we're glad you're well and you were able to be with us in Chicago. I mean, yeah, in Chicago. And, you know, Chicago and New Orleans, those are two interesting cities, and like the city itself is just has its own life. And there, I know you're living in Louisiana. Which part of Louisiana are you living in now?
I'm in Baton Rouge, but I have lived in New Orleans for a couple of years as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. For me, when I was in Louisiana twice, with the summit, it was very spiritual and very moving. Much of my life now I'm living came directly out of the experience that I had in New Orleans right after the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like it shifted my life, the impact of the summit being there and what I was able to distinguish about my life. I've taken a whole nother road, and it's been the high road, and my life has been full of abundance and just having me see, like, why was I put here on the earth? You know, I mean, like, I've really gotten clear in some of those things, and it comes out of my participation with the summit, out of our distinctions. Now, one of the things that we use are distinctions. We use them as tools. And some of the distinctions are clearing. Some of them, another one is no out there. Another one is self-generating, self-generation. And that's what I saw for myself. I just wanted to say something about self-generating or self-generation. It's about you having the opportunity to pause your life. You know, one of the biggest things I remember about the summit when we went to Nairobi, Kenya, I met a young lady there by the name of Wambui, and Wambui was with us again there in Chicago. But I met Wambui back in 19—the year we were in Nairobi, Kenya. I actually stayed with her family. I met her because I was going to the summit. And she told me at the age of 14 that she would graduate from Spelman College. Now, you got to get this. This is a young lady living in Nairobi, Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And she self-generated that life for herself. She figured out how to get to the United States. She figured out how to get into Spelman. She figured out how to move through all of those courses, and she graduated. And I attended her graduation, but her and I both self-generated that day. When she shared her vision of going to Spelman, she shared it in such a way that I can walk into that vision and tell her, you're 14 years old, but I will be at your graduation.
Hmm.
And years later, I stayed in contact with her and actually went to her graduation out of the distinction, self-generating.
Right.
So
what is she doing? What is she doing these days?
Right now, she's doing exactly what she told us. One of the other declarations she's made over the years, which declaration is another distinction, is that she's declared that she will be the first female president of Kenya. And right now, she's actually working with the president of Kenya now. So many of the young people who come through the summit are living powerful, dynamic lives.
Right.
And we'll be sharing more about that. But it's exciting. So bring your teens, bring your young people. Just think for a young person to start at the age of 8 inside of this conversation. And teenagers, you want to see that leader come out of your child, bring them to the summit. Bring them to the summit. Now, Glenn here is one of our people. Glenn has been working with the youth for over 10 years. Jill has just started working with the youth summit. So both of them could probably tell you just another little tidbit about what they see that happens for young people in the summit, or what young people bring to the summit.
Yeah, this is Glenn. One of the things, and I'm going to say this for the young people and for the adults, but one of the key things that we work on is vision. So what we do is we look at and work with individuals to develop their vision. Because one of the things that we see is that the importance of having your vision, or being in touch with your vision, really puts you in action. And what we mean by that is, so when you get some clarity about your vision and can speak your vision into the room, into the space, out into the universe, that then becomes resonating. And now people who have similar visions could then gravitate to you and to really partner up with you. And you begin to formulate some partnerships to move your vision and their vision forward. And so as young people, it's very important for you to get clear what it is that you want to do in life. And once you've gotten that vision, the activity and the opportunities to fulfill on that commitment, on that vision, start becoming very, very clear. But until you're clear, the activities and the opportunities are not necessarily that clear. Once you get clear, the universe supports you and co-creates with you. And so it's very exciting to watch young people explore their vision, speak their vision, and then manifest it. So that's the thing that occurs over time. And you see people working on the stuff. You see people putting together projects. We've got people of African Descent Empowerment Group. There's the Black Resource Network. That's something that's coming out of the conversation of the summit. And PDEG was another conversation out of New York that was similar, that had some similar goals and visions. So you've got people working together, doing things around the planet. Really, that are connected. You know, brother talked about Paul Coates and Tony was doing the Egyptian trip and so forth. So, and the Black Press. You know, all of these things are critical things in moving us forward. And, of course, if your young people can get that, get a sense of who they are and their heritage. So that's one of the things that we work on in the Youth Summit. We want to make sure that they understand they come from a rich, vibrant heritage. We spent some time on Sunday with them after the presentation that Tony gave about the Egyptian artifacts and the tombs, to really show them and have them understand the importance of knowing the history and know from whence they've come, so they can be proud and they can move forward in the conversation of what it is that they're up to in their vision. We've got Aliyah, who's also part of the Youth Summit, who's working with the First Lady of Sudan, or South Sudan, or the Southern Sudan. Anyway, it's a new country that just emerged. She just came back from working with the First Lady of that country in terms of youth development and some other leadership things. So, I mean, we're having these young people engaged in conversations that are possible, that are truly international, and they have an international flavor that allows them to be supported. And they, again, the visions commingle, so they're able to work together in making things, multiple visions, occur. So it's exciting work. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's very, very exciting, energizing to see the possibility that we're creating for ourselves, for our young people, in this conversation called the International Black Summit. Back to you.
Okay, Jill, was there anything? Jill, was there anything you wanted to say about your experience with the youth?
The youth are amazing. The energy that they bring, the and the way that they get it, they get it in a sense as far as the distinction. They truly understand. They have a clear understanding of what their vision is or what they would like their vision to be. And the energy that they bring is amazing. When I first went into the youth room as a new youth facilitator, the one thing that was a concern of mine was, you know, I was wondering if I was going to get my summit. And I definitely got my summit. It was an amazing space to be in. It is different from the adult room, but what I like about it is the fact that you're hearing the ideas and the experiences of young people that have, this is maybe either their first time at a summit or this was their fourth or fifth, and they truly understand what the summit is all about and what they can bring to the summit. So I truly enjoy them. I enjoy being around them. I'm looking forward to seeing them again next year.
One of the things, this is Glenn again, one of the things I want to add is that we actually facilitate the conversation. And so we don't have a book. We don't have a diagram of how we're going to do the event. We actually listen. And the facilitators, we have training sessions to be able to listen people powerfully and listen what's going on in the room. And the thing that's always so miraculous to me is that given the spaces that we're listening to, and we've got a youth summit, and we've got an adult summit going on, that the two rooms, even though they're physically in separate locations, are always synchronized. Now, I can't tell you how that occurs, but I know that it occurs because of the listening that's available, that is provided by the facilitator. So we're not, so as a youth facilitator, and I call myself a senior youth, because I'm right in there with them in the conversation. So I'm not necessarily leading them. I am there with them, experiencing whatever the conversation that they're having, that we're having together. We're having a conversation together. We're experiencing, and in that experience, I get my summit out of that conversation as well as they get theirs. Because one of the things that we talk about is sharing. So sharing is not reporting, it's not talking, it's not having an idle conversation, but I'm sharing my life. I'm sharing life situations. You know, one of the things that, so let me demonstrate what a sharing is. So one of the young men in the room was being challenged by his mother. You know, he wants to, you know, he's 23 years old, he's trying to figure out how life is occurring and what he wants to do next, and he's got his ideas, and of course his mother has her ideas of what he should be doing, and so the two are interplayed. And his question was, well, am I going to wake up one day and have this stuff figured out and not have to work with it? And my response to him was, hey, listen, let me tell you something. There's some good news and some bad news about this conversation. The bad news is that it never changes, because I'm 55 and my mother still tells me what she thinks I should be doing. But I also have the opportunity to generate what it is that is in front of me to do, consistent with my vision and my commitment to have, fulfill my purpose in life. And so in sharing that, he got that it was like, oh, really? So this is not going to be just a phase. This is going to be how life is, and it's an opportunity to generate. So in my sharing with him, he got a sense of what life might be like later on and that it's not going to change. So for him to be clear what his expectations are. So these are the kinds of things that we're engaging in conversation that develops people. And we're giving people tools called the distinctions. And these tools are what enable people to be able to have access to being present, because life is about being present, about being available to what's happening in front of you. And if you're not present and available, then what happens is that you get sidelined, or your thoughts and your vision and your goals get sidelined. So again, it was a little lengthy an explanation, but I think it was one warranted the conversation of sharing and distinction, and which are the tools that we use to facilitate the conversation.
You know, I have a comment and a question to maybe some of the folks who have attended more summits, and it's my observation that, like in the general session sharing, it seems to me, ironically, in the sense that people share their vulnerabilities and their perceived shortcomings more so than they share their accomplishments. And I was just wondering, is there a reason for that? Is that in design, or is that just how it just happens when people share?
Okay. This is great. That's a great question. One of the things I like to have us look at is one of our distinctions that we call no out there. So with no out there, we say what's really, whatever is happening or whatever you're looking at, there's not a world that you're looking at from your seat. So when you say that question about what people share at the mic, did you have an opportunity to go to the mic at the summit?
Yes, I did.
And when you shared at the mic, which category would you say that you shared from?
Vulnerabilities, because like I was responding to one of the questions, what is it about you that you don't want people to know? So that,
right,
in a sense, it didn't. I mean, in other words, I would be open to say something positive as well, you know, but that kind of implies something that you're not necessarily proud of. That's the way I interpreted it. So I was in that same category.
Right, right. So I, one of the things that I found very powerful from the summit is when I have a question like that, is that I then take the opportunity of saying no out there. And I go...
Give me that again, Shakesha.
One of the things that I find very powerful out of coming to the summit is using that distinction, no out there. So
mm-hmm.
when I'm looking at a question about something, so if I'm looking at why is it that family members lie? You know, like, why have I noticed family members in lies a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Then I can take the distinction, no out there,
mm-hmm.
and instead of wondering about the family members, I can, like, get a, something become available to me when I go, so why do I lie in the family?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see? And
right.
then I look at that. And it's not to avoid the question, but more that where the power is going to come from is the only thing that I can have a shift in is within myself.
Right.
Myself.
Right.
So when I look at where do I lie,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden, first of all, the first thing I get is, oh, I didn't get that I lied.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but I do lie. And then I get, oh. Well, maybe they're just like me, too. You know, I start
mm-hmm.
looking at they're just being people, just like I didn't really necessarily get that I lied. But the moment I took the question and used the distinction, no out there,
mm-hmm.
I start getting some availability. I start noticing that I did lie. I start looking at which things I lie about. I start looking at, am I going to continue that behavior or am I going to shift? I mean, like, now I got all of these things that I can actually put my hands on and have something shift versus me being in my car, looking at your car,
mm-hmm.
talking about you should be going faster. The only car I can really control is the car that I'm in.
Right.
So,
you know, that happened to me, too, because, you know, my first impression of the size, and I understand that whoever needs to be there, that's who's there. But I said to myself that, well, dang, in a city like Chicago, it seemed like there'd be more people here. And then I said, well, maybe they waited too late to advertise it. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute now, you didn't make your decision so early, number one. You weren't strong enough in bringing other people there yourself. So that happened to me, just what you're saying.
Oh,
as a result
great.
Of that.
That's
mm-hmm.
great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, see, right there, that's where access becomes available. Because, like you said, you could be saying, well, maybe they advertised too late. Then you ask the very important question, or you distinguish for yourself, who did I bring?
Right.
Who did I tell to come? And it's just a very powerful place because, now you can have something occur around that next year.
Right.
But the more you're, like, looking at the other person, maybe something different will happen. But when you got a chance to actually come into contact with yourself, I say that is powerful for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
Yeah, like I bring people every year because I asked that question one year. I
right.
was like, well, why isn't it more people? And when
mm-hmm.
I got the distinction, no out there and self-generating,
mm-hmm.
I bring
right.
people.
Right, exactly.
And that was powerful for me versus
yeah.
Just looking at there's a problem.
Right.
And sometimes it's not a problem. It was just me distinguishing. Oh, you know, I'm not asking people. I want
right.
more people. Oh,
right.
I can ask more people. So thank you. And that's really how it works because, as Glenn said earlier, and I want to reiterate, as facilitators, we're not bringing something. We're not giving you answers or advice. We're actually in the inquiry with you. We're
mm-hmm.
looking at these tools called distinction. And you may come up with a whole nother way to look at that distinction that now gets shared in the group. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing I wanted us to speak to, is that we work in small groups. So we work at one time, the whole room together, people coming up to the mic when we put a question out. And you get to choose if you're going to come to the mic. Nobody's like, hey, you, come up here. Mm-hmm. And then you work in a small group of five. Sometimes it's larger than five to six. And then you do a lot of work through those 3 days with your group. You guys are talking together. You're trying out your distinctions. You're learning which distinctions that might be the one you want to use, or, you know, that group piece. And we found out 1 year that group element is really very powerful. I know for myself, when I left my first summit, what impacted me the most was what happened in my group, because when I left the summit, I'm taking the summit with me. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave me an answer. In fact, I'm leaving with everything that I need to interact in my life. So thanks for bringing that up. What do people see about the groups? What have you noticed about groups from the summit?
Yeah, this is Glenn. So the group dynamic is really very, very powerful, because you now have a subset of people who are in that conversation, who you've shared with, who have an experience of you, who now can coach you, can support you, can assist you. And so you now become very intimate with your group members, because you're sharing things, you're saying things in confidence that you may not necessarily share with the big group.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an opportunity to grow with the group, and most of the groups, interestingly enough, most of the groups that keep growing, stay in touch with each other. So over the years, they will communicate and they call back. And I have a group member, church lady from Pittsburgh, and I talked with her just this past week. And we haven't talked a lot, but we were in a facilitated group together for several years. And so we stay in touch. And so, so you develop relationships. And she calls in and kind of checks in with me, find out how folks in the summit are doing, some of the folks in New York, because she's come to New York and visited. She's got a cousin there, and she stays and hangs out with some of the summit folks and PDEG folks from New York that she met over the years. So, I mean, the relationships are very solid. The relationships, again, you grow your network, so it's an opportunity to grow your network. We did some things this year around particular locality. So we looked at the people in New York and New Jersey. We looked at people in Chicago. And we set up little groups so that people can now have that as a group, as well as the five individual group members. So we're looking to really amp up the dynamics of the groups. And the radio show, we're planning to invite some of the groups back to share what they're up to from a group standpoint, that they may be working on projects together, so on and so forth, and how it's been. So we're going to actually be inviting different sets of groups back to the radio show to share with us what they're up to. Back to you.
Great. Thank you, Claire.
You're welcome.
We were talking about the different things that we experienced in the annual event in Chicago. We're now looking forward to our next time together. We'll actually be getting together. If you attended the summit for the first time this time in Chicago, I just want to share this with you and remind others who've not been at a summit for a while that we will have our leadership council body happening October 29th and 30th in Chicago. We always come back in October, and October 28th is for people who are looking at being facilitators. So keep checking the website to see what location we'll be at. But it's an opportunity. Once you attend one, you are now part of the body. And what that means is, it's a lot of different ways to explain it, but normally in organization, things like president, vice president, board of directory, they're usually the people who say how things are going to go. But in the International Black Summit, you can almost say the pyramid is turned upside down. So that broad base of members are actually the ones who share about what they want to see, what they saw for themselves. So before, like the prerequisite, we're actually using the International Black Summit prerequisite. That happened out of the body saying that's what we want to have happen. So you're invited and encouraged to come and be with us in October. If it was your first time in Chicago, please be with us again. If you haven't been with us in a while, please come and be with us. And we actually start in the process of alignment to see where the next summit will be. So all of that is up for the body to talk about, and you're the body if you have attended one summit. So I just want to take the time to have the International Black Summit talk show invite you to please be with us in Chicago in October. So the dates are October 28th, 29th, and 30th. The 28th being if you're looking at involvement with the facilitator body, and the 29th and the 30th is for the leadership council body, and that's you. I told people at the summit, like, my foot is part of my body. I won't go anywhere without my foot, okay? Even though it's toes and all of that, it's an intricate part of my body. So you are an intricate part of the body. So I'll be excited to see you guys there.
Yeah, I just want to let Henrietta, did you want to jump in? The mic is open.
Oh, thanks. You all covered everything, and I'm looking forward to everyone coming back in October. Chicago's very quiet since everyone left. The restaurants are empty. They're trying to figure out what happened. Restaurants are empty. You know, the energy is a little different over there by the living room. So we are really looking forward to everybody coming back for the leadership council or the leadership body meeting in October. And for those people who ever done a summit, this is the place to be. This is the place to find out how things are run and how this.
And just before we leave, I just want to jump in and say, you know, the summits always bring great things in my life, and I just wanted to talk about Tony's world. Broader for a moment. A couple of people mentioned it, but this is a brother who was with us in Chicago, and he actually did a presentation after the conclusion of one of our summit nights. And I mean, I went to it, it blew me away. So there's a website. I'm going to say the website, but first I'll say what it's about. It's about the fact that this brother has discovered a Egyptian tomb in Egypt. and he's African-American, and he's saying to us, we have an opportunity to find out more about this. It's happening in our lifetime. He wants us to be part of it. And if you go to his website, this is the website. It's ASA Restoration Project, and that's all one word. So A like Apple, F like Sam, A like Apple, and then spell the word restoration, and then the word project. And it's all one word, .com. And go to his website, and you can see more information. But the biggest thing is I'm going to get to live out my vision about being an anthropologist because of the International Black Summit coming to Chicago and this brother sharing. Mm-hmm. So I'm inviting you to go look at that website. I've even started a radio show where I'm including about that website. That's something else to talk about on another time. But I'm just excited. I'm just excited. The gifts and the knowledge that all of my friends bring when they come to the annual event is just mind-boggling. And I just thank you all. And I'm going to send it back over to Glenn to wrap it up and mention the oxygen room. Does someone have the number so we can share that?
Absolutely. So oxygen room number, and what the purpose of the oxygen room is, an opportunity for you to register yourself to find out some more information, get some more detailed information that you'd like, and certainly to find out how you can get the prerequisite or community course for your community. So the number is 218-862-6420, extension 797-4834. Let me give that to you again. It's 218-862-6420, extension 797-4834. That's the oxygen room. We'll be in there for 10 minutes. If no one shows up, then we'll shut it down. But if not, we'll be there to answer any questions, anything that you want to do off air, and we'd love to have you there. So, again, 218-862-6420, extension 797-4834, and we're there really to support you in your answering the questions, registering yourself. And the prerequisite, having a summit share in your location, we can, you know, make some things happen around that. And anything else that you'd like to share with us off air. So this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Our website is www.blacksummit.org. And we're here every Sunday night from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. I think one of the things that we will be looking to do is expand some programming. So that's something that we're discussing, and we've got some new team members coming on that are going to be joining us. So we're looking forward to expanding the conversation, bringing you all kinds of details of things that are happening around the country, around the world, as it relates to our community. And we're going to keep it going around empowerment and self-generation and moving ourselves financially, economically, and socially forward in all the endeavors that we have in our community. Jill, anything for you?
I just want to thank everyone for listening, and I hope to hear you in the oxygen room.
All right, very good. Shakesha, anything else?
Yes. Once again, we keep pointing you back to blacksummit.org. That's where you can hear information. A lot of people that I've been talking to that didn't come to this summit was like, well, I didn't know. There's a lot of things I didn't know. So the talk show and the website is a way for you to stay in the know. So time to time, go there. Also, you can let your friends know they can download this show. You can go to blacksummit.org, and this show will be recorded there. Scroll down to about the middle way of the screen, and you will see this show. So you can tell your friends, just go on the computer, and they can hear this show. and they can hear previous shows of the month, and we can give you next week how you can actually download shows so that maybe you can't listen. You have friends who work on Sunday, but you can. We'll share with them how they can download the show and listen at the time that works for them. Just really excited everyone was here. I'm looking forward to meeting new friends and having more summit conversations. And we're looking for more people to come be with us on the talk show. So if you like the talk show, it's something you would like to do behind the scene and actually on the air. Once again, it's blacksummit.org. You can leave us that message, and we'll be getting in contact with you. So we got new members coming on, and it's just very, very exciting. And we'll see you again next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Ciao, ciao, ciao. See you in the oxygen
okay.
room.
So long, everyone.
Oxygen room. Let's breathe.
218-862-6420-797-4834. Ciao.